Thank you, Noel. Thank you, worship team. Bless you all. Trust you've all had a good week. Amen.
Amen.
And as Noel said, it was good to get a nice drop of rain last night. And again, the promise of the Lord's blessing upon our lives. This morning's service, a little story. This young man just got his license, and he's also had long hair. And he went to his father and he said, "Dad, can I borrow the car now I've got my license?" And the father put his head down and thought about it a bit. He said, "I'll make you a deal. You get your hair cut, read the Bible every day, you can use the car." So the son said, "Oh, thanks, Dad, that's good." And so about a month by, he also said, "You've got to get your hair cut." But so a month goes by and the father said, "I see you haven't got your hair cut." He said, "No, Dad." He said, "I've been thinking. Moses had long hair. Samson had long hair. And even Jesus had long hair." And the father said, "But they walked everywhere." I got that one off Joel Osteen, one of the evangelistic ministries on television. Okay, try and get a bit serious. Okay, I'd like to share from the book of Exodus this morning in chapter 33. And here we see at the commencement of this chapter where the Lord gave the command to leave Sinai to the Israelites. He was speaking to Moses. And then the Lord said to Moses, "Depart and go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, saying, 'To your descendants I will give it.' And I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite and the Amorite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite." And he said to Moses, "Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people." And when they heard this bad news, they murmured, and no one put on their ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, "Say to the children of Israel, 'You are a stiff-necked people. I could come into your midst in one moment and consume you. Now therefore, take off your ornaments that I know what to do with you.' So the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by Mount Horeb." So we see there, we know the story well of how Moses rose up and led the children out of Israel, led the people out of Israel. And God, as we know, done a great and mighty thing. But here, God now challenges Moses. He's telling Moses, it's time to pull up the stakes. It's time to move the camp. It's time to get going and get on with what I told you to do and go into the land that I promised you and take hold of that land. And he said how he was going to, so he said, "I'll send my angel before you." So he's already promising Moses that he would be with him, that he wouldn't go on his own. And so we see there that this was a great challenge to Moses, and a big, big commitment, a big thing he had to do, because we know, as I said, we know the story well, how the children, while Moses was spending time with God up on Mount Sinai, and how the Israelites rebelled, and they just went their own way, didn't they? And they made this golden calf and all these idols, and they just went haywire and just forgot all about what God had done for them. And they just went their own ways, doing their own thing, and there was uproar. There's a lot of problems that came out of that. But What I really want to speak about is this morning, it commences at verse 12 in the same chapter, Exodus 33, where God promised his presence would go with Moses and that he would give him rest. And so we watch television a bit, don't we? But on some of these things, you see some of those advertising vacuum cleaners and stoneware and cooking things and mixers and dices or whatever they are, all things. And they're telling you, buy one today and you'll get more. We'll give you this, we'll give you that. But we know in the things of God, when we connect ourselves with God, God says, yes, there is more. There is more. And I want to give you that. I want to give you the good things. But my message is not about but God wants to say, wait, there's more. When we look to him, there's always more, isn't there? And my message this morning is about how much more do you want of God? How much more do you want of God? How much more do you want to connect in God? How much more and how straight and righteous do you want to be in God's sight? And how much more do you want to have that relationship that Moses had with God? And to look to him. And so I ask again, how much more for each one of us, that we might grow in love and grace in the fellowship of God with God. Amen? We want to grow in all those good things with God in every way. But here at Grow Church, we speak a lot about growing, don't we? We've heard it a lot in the past, and it'll continue to be spoken about, because that's what it's all about, people growing in God, isn't it? Growing in God in every way, every day, becoming stronger every day, and being challenged in there, but always being challenged, but putting the past behind us and just... excuse me, that having that ability to overlook one another's faults, all that sort of things, but rising up to becoming true disciples of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're all about, isn't it? And to propagating the word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. But excuse me, I'll have a sip of water. But I feel one of the good examples of someone knowing and getting close to God was God's own man, Moses. Amen? Moses knew God and he got close to God. And I just really like the story of how Moses met God. We know the story of the burning bush and how Moses was attracted to that. I spoke about that some time back, but also how he met with God. He went up to that mountain and Moses had a mountaintop experience with God. He really had an awesome, awesome time there in the presence of God there. And in that very presence, I think that's where we all need to be, don't we? Getting in that place where we can talk to God. And I feel we all need a mountaintop experience, don't we? There's times in our lives when something really happens and, you're on top of the world and everything's great, isn't it? When God's touched you or you've heard some good testimony or something of what God's done and you say, yes, Lord, that's what we want. That's great. Praise you, Lord, for all you're doing, all that sort of thing. But we just need to, I feel, at least once in our life have that real experience where you really know that God touched you. Amen? That God touched you. And God wants to hear our voice. I'm sure you would all agree with that. And it's not just about telling about him all our problems and all our woes, but we just need to be orderly, speaking out, speaking to him, and just about praising and blessing him for how he has taken control of our lives and how he's blessed our lives in every way. And we just have that boast and be able to say, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And where did that come from? Who? The Apostle Paul. That was Paul's boast, wasn't it? No, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And so that should be our boast as well. We should be telling people every day of the week, or whoever you meet, you know, that Jesus Christ lives in me. And for that to be known, made known. But we have to make a declaration in witness and song and be able to say that, you know, we have a place reserved in heaven, don't we? And that's for every one of us, and the promise of eternal and everlasting life in the presence of God, and just abiding in that everlasting presence that only comes about through spending time with God. We can only get close to God if we are prepared to spend time with him. Amen. And getting to know him, being able to communicate and relate to God in an ongoing way. It's not just, oh, today I feel like talking to God and think about it again in a couple of weeks' time. No, it's every day that we have to be reaching out and saying, Lord, Lord, I need your help. Help me today. Help me today. And, But as Moses spoke to God, you know, there were three things that Moses sought from God. He asked God to show him his ways, and he wanted to know God more, and he wanted to find grace in God's sight. And so what we see there, I spoke about the more of God, and that's what Moses wanted. Moses wanted more of God, and he was calling upon God to show him and to give him these things. And in verse 13 it says, Now therefore I pray, I have found grace in your sight. Show me now your way, and I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. So Moses asked God for that presence to be upon him, for that presence to be about him. And Moses knew that he couldn't move this whole multitude of people unless God went with him. And it's the same for all of us. As a church, we need God's presence. Amen? Each and every one of us, we're trying to move forward, and we are. We need God's presence to go with us, to go before us, to prepare the way that we can walk in and follow. But So Moses was reaching out to God and say, Lord, I want more of you. I want more of you. But Moses asked one thing. He said, Lord, show me your glory. Show me your glory. Please show me your glory. And so we see in the whole presence of God, Moses was lost in the wonderment. And we see here Moses' passionate plea to God, where he is saying to the Lord, please show me your glory. But Moses wanted that intimate knowledge of God himself. And Moses, we see here, was asking something he couldn't have. He was asking something that he couldn't have. And also in John's Gospel in the New Testament, we see Jesus' disciple Philip, he asked a similar question in John 14:8, and Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. What did Jesus say? Anyone know? Tell me. Yeah, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But There's a lot in that story on itself, but that's how we have to know God. If we know Jesus, we know the Father. Amen. It's a familiar sort of a question that's often asked. And how often do we see people asking or wanting or taking something that is not theirs to have? And this is a situation. God said, no, I can't tell you that. I can't show you that. And Jesus said the same. Well, he said, Philip, if you don't know now, you'll never know. He said, what have you been doing all this time I've been spending with you? So there we see that. But coming back to Moses, Moses desired God's presence. And he never, ever wanted that presence to leave him. And we see this request where it begins in verse 12, where that promise was given to Moses. Then Moses said to the Lord, again, I read it before, but I'll read it again. Then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. And again, we see there how Moses was just inquiring of the Lord and asking God for all this goodness, for his presence to be upon him. So Moses was asking that to the Lord. He wanted all those things. And the Lord's reply was, in verse 14, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. What a mighty powerful promise that is. It's a reassuring promise that from the Lord there to Moses, to give Moses that reassurance and confidence to lead the Israelites forward into that promised land. He said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And that's a scripture that we really should take to heart, each one of us, to have that confidence in God, that God will go with you. And he says, in my presence with you, he said, I will give you rest. I will be with you. I will help you. You've heard that spoken about many times. But so God was able to grant Moses this request because of what it tells us. It says in verse 9, the Lord talked to Moses, or talked with Moses. And that's what we want in our lives, for the Lord to speak with us. And the Lord will only speak to us if we speak to him. Amen? So we have to reach out in every way to there. And it says there, so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to a friend. And we see there Moses there, while he was there, he erected a meeting place where he could meet with God, and the tabernacle. And every time Moses went to meet with God in the tabernacle, there God appeared in a pillar of cloud, and there they communed together, face to face, but he wasn't able to see God. He heard God. So here I feel this scripture here really lifts up Moses as an example to us. And this is what it says. It says here, it says the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend, face to face. And then when we address one another, we like to speak face to face, don't we? We look for certain things. We look for expression. We look to see if they're listening to us or whatever. But here we see how Moses spoke face to face, yet that cloud was there where God wouldn't allow him to see his face. But Moses was a friend of God, amen? A friend of God, and that was the kind of relationship. They really talked to other face to face as a man speaks to a friend. But they really knew each other, and I believe that scripture, that verse in this scripture here, because that's God's heart for all his people. And I think that's God's heart for every one of us here today, that you would want God to be able to say, hey, you're my friend. You're my friend. I'm a friend of God. There's that little song I send, sing, I'm a friend of God. And we know it well, but you know, we want to be able to say, I talked to God. I heard God talk. And so that, and we connected, I've connected to God. But that's a picture of a relationship there that God wants to have with each one of us, to meet with him, to commune with him, to spend time with him, just like Moses did, and sought direction for where God wanted to take him. But most of all, knowing that being in his presence and never wanting to be apart from God. None of us want to be separated from God's presence, do we? I know we might have a really tough time and you get your heels up and just take a step back. And when you're out there on your own, I'm sure we've all been through it. I have. And it's a time when you're most miserable. Amen? It's a time when you're out of fellowship with other people, when you're out of fellowship with the Lord. It's not a good place to be in. But so God, Moses never wanted to get out of that place. He never wanted to get out of the presence of God. And being in that presence, and that's how it is with us, you know. If we are prepared to get it, if we are prepared to get into that place where we know God will meet with us. And I feel too often, you know, we just don't allow ourselves to go to that place. We hold back, don't we? Too often we block God out, and too often because of our disposition and all the excuses and that sort of thing, you know, we put up, you know, we get into that place and it's not conducive, is it? It's not a good place to be in where we're not going to hear what the Lord would say, you know. And when we're in that place, we just can't, even reaching out to God, it's often hard. It's not a good place, and we just no need to be there. And I'm sure we all want peace in our life. We want to be at peace with each other, don't we? And that's God's promise, God's presence. When God is there, when we're here, when we're walking side by side with him, all things are good. And we have that peace. We're at peace with ourselves. We're at peace with others. And as it said, God will give rest to his people. God will give rest to each one of us. And that's where the more comes in. The more comes in. God is saying, hey, there's more to come. He is saying as his presence goes with us, there are added extras. There are added extras, all these other things I'm going to give to you. And on top of this, he says, I'm going to give you these added benefits there. But it's a condition to that. God will give, but it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And that's, you'll find that always in God's word. If there's a promise, there's a condition. But God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and what? All these things will be added unto you. And these are all the things, these added extras that God wants to give you, give to each one of us. He says, my presence, he says, it will soothe you. My presence, it will bring comfort to you. And he says, my presence will settle upon you and it will help you be still. It will calm you down. And he says, in my presence, I will help you and guide you. I'll show you the way. I will take you by the hand and lead you. And he says, and in my presence, it will bring a quietness about you. And we want our spirits to be a quiet spirit there and not running amok. But above all, in all that, God wants us to trust him, doesn't he? To trust him, to be able to trust God and to know him intimately and to acknowledge him. And as we acknowledge him, the scripture also tells us he will make a clear pathway for us in our lives. Sorry, I jumped. But in all our endeavours, we just have to continue to be encouraged about God's word and what it says. In Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, anyone know that one? Yes, great, good response. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. All your heart, not just a little bit. It says, all your heart, and lean not on our own understanding. Lean not on our understanding. But it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Amen? What a wonderful promise again. You know, any of us could have gone down a different path and we may not have been here today, but it was God's plan and purpose that he came into our lives and he's able to bring that to highlight in our lives. If we've acknowledged God, he's directed a path for each one of us to follow. He has a plan and a purpose for our lives, and God wants us to that. And he says, trust in me with all your heart, and I will bring these things to pass. And God just wants to continually direct us and into that place where we are able to abide by what the word exhorts us to do. To abide by what the word exhorts us to do. And again, God has a word for us. Amen? God has a word for us. And I think God really wants to teach us what it looks like to, what it looks like for us to know him. We're here today because we want to know and want more of God. Amen? We want more of God. We want to know God more. We want more of God. And we come here to worship, don't we, in a corporate way. And we want to know God. And through all that, as we come together in this way, God says, I know your heart. I know your heart. He knew Moses' heart, even Moses, with all his fears and trepidations. And he said, Lord, Moses said, I won't go unless you come with me. And we want God's presence wherever we go, in everything we do. And in amongst all this, God, as I just said, God sees your heart. God knows our heart. And he wants to bless you. He wants to bless each and every person. He wants to bring favour upon your life. He wants to see things right in your life. And that things will all be well with you. And we do that. But we all pray, don't we? Amen? We do. We all pray to God. But do we really have that kind of relationship with him where we are really connecting face to face as with God, as a friend of God? Just remember that in your prayer. Remember God as a friend. He's not an enemy. And we often forget that. But we just have to see, God, you're my friend and I trust in you. I believe in you. My hope is in you, Lord. To be able to do that. And so do we have that? You know, I would just want us to look at Moses and ask, what does it look like to have that kind of relationship with God? And as we read the scriptures, we can get the heart of that. We can get the feel of that, of what it's like to really know God in that way. And I believe in each one of us, you know, there's a hunger for more. There's always a hunger for more. You show that by the way you serve God, by the way you get involved in the life of the church, the way you get involved in other people's lives and all that type of thing. And to be able to do that, as we want that more of God, to be able to do that. So God's promise to Moses, you know, that hasn't changed, because it still applies to us today, doesn't it? It still applies of us today. And Jesus speaking in Matthew 18:20, for where two or three are gathered in my name, he says, I am there in the midst of you. I am in the midst. So again, we just take that promise of the Lord's presence is with us. And that the Lord's presence, the promise of the Lord's presence. In Hebrews 13:5 it says there, it's about encouraging us to continue in the Lord's presence. It says here, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, this is all the continuing promise of God's hand upon our lives right from the beginning to the end of the promise of God that his presence will never leave us or forsake us, that he would always be with you. And he says, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And we come to the invitation of Jesus in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, that's the theme for the year, the invitation. Jesus gave out that invitation. Come to me, all of you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the promise of Christ, the promise of God, that when we come into that place, when we get in relationship with God, you know, our lives will be at peace and we can have that rest where there's not a constant turmoil in our lives. And in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 28, another reassuring passage there. It says there, you have made known the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Again, the promise of God. There's promise after promise. And the psalmist David cried, constant cry. His cry was for him to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that David cried that out. And he said, above all, you know, that goodness and mercy will follow him all the days of his life. The psalmist David had that hope in the Lord. He was able to say, Lord, I never want to get out of your presence. I want to dwell in your house forever. And then know that you will be with me all the way. So there, that was David's cry there. But before him, as we know, it was the heart of Moses about the presence of God. And this has to be our heart and cry too, to have the presence of God in our lives, to have the joy and the love of the presence of the Lord and Jesus Christ in our lives. Amen? And so again today, I'll just finish there, but I just want to again just encourage you and have that reassurance as we get in that place, as we get in that place where we can just meet with God and commune with God and tell him of our needs and praise him and lift his name, exalt the name of Jesus in the Lord's presence. As we do that, as we get in that place, that's where we can meet with God. That's where we can hear from God and to know that the Lord's presence is there and he will walk with us. Amen. Again, I just trust today that you've been challenged by the message, you've been encouraged. And again, for anyone who does not know what it is to have the presence of God in your life, today is a good opportunity. Today you can come forward and we will stand and pray with you. And if anyone has any need whatsoever this morning and you need prayer this morning, please take that opportunity this morning and we'll just only be too willing and happy to stand and pray you and encourage you in your walk with our Lord. Amen. Amen. So Father God, again, we just bless you and thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your presence with us this day, Father, for your spirit that is upon us, Lord, for your spirit that has led us and guided us throughout the service this morning, Father. We just thank you, Lord, that you are an everlasting God, a God who never fails, a God who has given us that promise of, yea, I will be with you and I will never leave you nor forsake you. So, Father, we just bless you. We thank you, Lord God, Lord, for each and every person here this morning. Lord, I ask and pray, let your presence be upon them. Lord, let this day be maybe a life-changing experience for someone here today, but more so, Lord, that they would be encouraged and to know the presence of God. The presence of the Lord Jesus Christ is with them and upon them in every way. So we bless you and we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.